Can you turn with me, please, to Job chapter 1? Those songs were beautiful. Thank you. I mean, really beautiful. Scripture in song is extra special because you know it's theologically sound. There's a lot of songs out there that are theologically not so hot. While you've got your finger in Job, just hold it there, and I'm going to read you two verses. I'm going to briefly look at Satan this morning and hopefully try to pinpoint exactly what he is about. There is one thing specifically on his mind, and I hope to show you what it is. A lot of people believe that Satan is out to get them. My friend, if you aren't saved, he had you from birth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we are lost? We are sons of Adam, the children of wrath, and Satan doesn't have to do anything, really. He tries to hinder the gospel, and we'll see how he tries to do it. But Satan himself, I don't believe I've ever been attacked by Satan. He's busy with big fish. He's out looking for something much more phenomenal than just a mere man like myself. Who was he? He was called Lucifer. Don't turn to it. But in Isaiah 14 it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." And in Ezekiel 28 we are told, "You were the anointed cherub who covers." He was the covering cherub. He was the son of the morning. With your finger in Job, I want you to turn with me now to Psalm 89. And then if you're quick enough, to Proverbs 20. In Psalm 89 and verse 14 we read, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." Now notice that carefully. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. What is the foundation of the throne of God? Righteousness and justice. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 28. The latter part of that verse we've just read said, "Mercy and truth go before your face." A foundation is something you stand on. Something that goes before you is not something you stand on. But it is part. It emanates from righteousness. And in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 28, "Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne." There are two things. The throne of God has a foundation of righteousness and justice. It is upheld or supported by mercy and loving kindness. Now, you must get that firmly in your mind because it is extremely significant. Now, you've got your finger in Job chapter 1. Lucifer was called the covering cherub, the anointed covering cherub, the son of the morning. And as we read in Scripture, under the Trinity, under the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he was the highest, the absolute, ultimate created being that has ever existed. We read even, don't turn to it, but in Jude, we read a remarkable verse about a man, rather an angel, called Michael. And it says, yet Michael the archangel. What is an archangel? He is the head angel. He is not a cherub. It would appear very clear from the scripture that the cherub, the covering cherub, was higher than even the archangel. And that's why it says, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael the archangel didn't even rebuke Satan because he recognized creatorial dignity. What I mean by that is Michael recognizes that Satan had a dignity through creation that was superior to him. Now, what about the throne? God's throne is founded upon righteousness. It is upheld by mercy. What was the sin of Lucifer? His sin, we are told, he said in his heart, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will be God. And God cast him out of heaven. And he became the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, the prince of demons. And when we read in Job chapter 1 at verse 6, it says there was a day when the sons of God, angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And of course we know that God doesn't ask to get the information. He asks that he might get a confession. And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth. You will find a similar expression, I think, in Ezekiel 28. But he says he has been going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. God was asking him, or telling him rather, to give an account of his activities. Now remember, he is called the father of lies. And one thing we have realized is that Satan, because he is the father of lies and cannot tell the truth, there is no what? No truth in him. Now notice that. There is no truth in him. Do you know one of the most frightening consequences of sin in the human race is self-delusion? And we can become so encaptured by sin that we actually become self-deceived. The book of Acts tells me that people can deceive their own hearts. You know, we often think of deception as being me deceiving you. But the most fatal and sinister of all deception is when we deceive ourselves. And if there was the one delusion that was the highest deception, it was Lucifer in the presence of God. As son of the morning, the covering cherub, to have conjured up in his mind and in his heart that he could ascend and be like the Creator. It is incomprehensible. But it makes much more sense than what is happening on the world today. There are people of flesh and blood calling out and saying, "We are God. We are God." Now, if Lucifer was the highest of all created beings, and it was folly for him to say that he would ascend and become like God, what absolute madness! What incredible deception that men and women of flesh and blood can even dream to believe that they are God. That is unbelievable. But it is sweeping across this world at such a rate. And you will hear it more and more and more in the days to come. People declaring themselves to be God. But now, what is Lucifer about? Rather, Satan, who is fallen from heaven. What is he doing here in Job? Because God says to him, "What have you been doing?" And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Now, I don't know how you understand the infliction in that statement, but I want to make a suggestion, and I think Scripture will bear it out. Satan was the covering cherub. We read of cherub distinctively in two other places in the Scripture. The veil that separated the holy from the holy of holies had entwined in various colors cherubim. They guarded the way to the holy of holies. And in the holy of holies was what? The mercy seat. And what overshadowed the mercy seat? Cherubim. What was their job? We are told that Lucifer was the covering cherub, meaning he was the one that was anointed and covered and guarded what? What does the mercy seat stand for? The righteousness and the holiness of God. So what was his function before ever there was man? It was in a purely functionary role to guard the throne of God. Not that there was any threat upon the throne, so to speak, but it was purely his position, his function was to cover, to guard. He was anointed for that job. He was the covering cherub, the son of the morning, and his job was to guard and protect, so to speak, the throne of God against attack. What is the throne of God made of? It has a foundation of righteousness. It is upheld by mercy. And I believe that Satan, as we read about him in Job, is coming before God, totally deluded and still believing in his heart, which is self-deceived because of the absolute depravity of sin in him. And he is still after the throne. He still wants the throne. He still wants a kingdom. You would say, well, that's crazy. How can you say that? When he came to God about Job, I believe he was faking, so to speak. He was coming to God and saying essentially this. In the pretense or under the disguise of being jealous still for the righteousness of God, this is the subtlety of it. He comes and he says, have you considered that man Job down there? God says to him, and he says, yes, but does he fear you for nothing? I don't think he was being facetious, so to speak, but I think he was being totally deceptive, because what he was wanting to do was exactly what he said would happen. He said, if you touch him, Lord, I believe he'll curse you. What was going through his mind? It was this. Under the guise of being jealous still for the righteousness of God, he was saying, he's actually not what you think he is, Lord. If you touch him, you will expose what he's really made of. And you cannot show mercy to him because he is not truly righteous. Why? What does Satan know? If he can shake the foundations or disturb the supports of the throne of God, God ceases to be God. And there will be a new sovereign of the universe. And he was coming to God and under total deception and under total self-deceit and a lie, he was saying this, Job doesn't fear you for nothing. He doesn't deserve your mercy. Because he wanted God to deviate just a fraction from his absolute mercy and the foundation of righteousness. And I'll show it to you in John chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. But you remember the story well of the woman who was taken in adultery. And she is brought before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scribes or whoever they were, the religious people, drag her before the Lord. Now I want to ask you, did they need to ask him what to do with her? No. Why? The law had told them clearly she should be stoned. Turn to John 8. There's something you need to see. John chapter 8. If you follow the narrative, you'll find that the story of this woman is right in the early part of John chapter 8, but he continues to talk to these people and about these people and then goes back talking to them. They have brought this woman, and then a little later they come back. He's talking about their activities, what's going on. And we know that their activities were generated by Satan. Because have a look what it says. In verse 41 of John 8, the Lord says this, you do the deeds of your father. And in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. What was the problem here? They had brought a woman who was condemned and guilty. There was no doubt about it. And according to the law, the righteous law of God, she must die. And the crowd, unknown to them, but with the subtle whispering of the deceiver in their ear, who is also called what? The accuser of the brethren. Why does he accuse us? Why does he accuse? He doesn't accuse me to me. He accuses me to God. Why? Because the same reason he was bringing this woman before the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saying, if you are righteous, you cannot show her mercy. The foundation of God is righteousness. It is upheld by mercy. Satan wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to move just a fraction. That's all it would take. The slightest deviation and his attribute of immutability would go and his deity would fall. And Satan still wants the throne. He still wants to be the God of the universe. He is so totally deluded that he is giving the same impression to man. And we are told that in the time of the tribulation, notice in 2 Timothy, or Thessalonians rather, it says that God, the people who are remaining here after the tribulation, it says that God will give them strong delusion that they might believe the lie. Not a lie, the lie. What is the lie? That man or the creature, no matter who he may be, even Satan himself, wants to exalt himself to be the creator, to be God. And Satan is accusing the brethren before God because he wants, every time he comes before God and he says, what about you? What about that man down there or that woman down there or Dave Courtney down there? Lord, he's doing this. Haven't you seen what he does, what he thinks, what he acts like, what his behavior is? He's a sinner. You can't show mercy. And my advocate stands up and says, I paid for that. And God is still got a foundation of his throne that is righteousness. And it is upheld by mercy because the accuser of the brethren has met an advocate that is far greater, God himself. Isn't it tremendous? Satan wants the throne. He wants God to cease to be righteous or to cease to show mercy. And that is why Romans was so profound, because it is how can a righteous God justify sinners and remain just? How can the foundation of his throne of righteousness remain intact if he forgives sinners? That's what Satan was saying about Job. That's what he came and said in the wilderness to the Lord Jesus. And that's what he was saying to Eve. And that's what he's saying to today. He is accusing us because he wants God to say, you're right. How can I show mercy to one like you or me? But our advocate stands up and says, pure. I paid it all. And Satan is a defeated foe only because Jesus Christ paid everything that we owed. And every accusation was dealt with 2,000 years ago on the cross. And the foundation of God's throne of righteousness remains intact. And that is one of the reasons I know he has got to judge sinners forever. Universalism is absolutely contrary to the throne of God. God must judge sin, either in the person of his son or in the individual sinner. And it has to be infinite, because an infinite God requires infinite recompense. And by the same token, if he has put mercy upon me, then I can stand justified. And his throne is still as solid as ever. Because the blood that flowed from Calvary riveted it more firm than ever. Might I add, it could never be more firm. There's no change. It is purely righteous and purely mercy. And because of that, Satan continues to accuse, but to no avail. It is absolutely hopeless. And look quickly to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he was standing before the angel. And he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Isn't that tremendous? The throne of God has a foundation of righteousness. It is upheld by mercy. And Satan is not out to get you and me to fall. We have already fallen. He is out to get God to try and change his mind and not to show mercy. And that, we can thank God, will never happen, because his throne is forever settled, like his word, in the heavens. Satan cannot shake the throne. And because of that, we can rest, knowing that we have got mercy forever. And if anybody isn't saved, they must face the foundation. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your tremendous grace and mercy that was shown to us when you plucked us as a brand from the fire, when you, by your grace, gave us faith to believe and trust in the Son of your love. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his absolute perfect work on Calvary, so that when Satan comes to accuse us before the very throne of God, both your righteousness and your justice, your mercy and your loving kindness are still intact because of the Lord Jesus Christ's atoning work for us there. We thank you that he is defeated and our advocate still stands by. We give you thanks in his name. Amen.